chosen to do what he does, not by himself. We talk about him being the waymaker, and he's the waymaker. He needs our cooperation. A lot of times our cooperation is standing. Standing in faith. Standing on the word. Holding fast to what he said in his word. And I'm telling you, he's faithful. He's faithful to make ways when there is no way. Amen. But he's not just doing it on his own. If he were doing it on his own, there would be a way for everybody and all the planet, for everybody to get out of everything they're in. There's always a way, but I'm saying they would always be getting out, but they're not. So there's cooperation on our side, isn't there? Responding to God, responding to the Word, taking a hold of the Word, holding fast to the confession of our faith, not letting go of what he said. Amen. Having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand therefore. That's your way of escape. That opens God. That gives God the... He has the ability, but it gives God the privilege of doing what he wants to do. He longs to help and minister. Amen. Greet your neighbor and say, he's the way maker. He's the way maker. But you can open up. Tell your neighbor, you can open up that way by your faith. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. We've been hearing testimonies. People getting things. Praise the Lord. Y'all are sit down antsy. Why don't you stand up? You're in too much of a hurry. Amen. Hallelujah. We cooperate with God. We move with God. Amen. He's you know, he told the children of Israel they were going around Jericho. They looked like there was no way. No way. That city's too big. I mean, the walls are too thick, and we can't climb those walls. There's people up there shooting at us. You know what I'm talking about. Just no way. But he told them the way. He said, you just do this. What do you do? You walk around the wall 7 days, six days, and on the seventh time, you walk around seven times. On the seventh day, walk around seven times, and then he said, shout. 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 Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, but there's no way. God said, that's not your department. You just do what I told you to do. You just do what I told you to do. Amen. The shout didn't do it, but it opened. It was an expression of faith. It opened the door for God to do it whenever they couldn't do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. Is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. Waymaker, miracle maker. That is who. That is who. Working in you. If you will say, Lord, I believe, I believe the way maker's working in you.
Just a little rough on something in the service today. These are not times of show. These are times for you to enter in. And there's too many of you not entering in. So the anointing's lifting. Amen. You can tell it, can't you? This is not a show. Do you want the anointing, or do you want to just church as usual? Huh? Amen. Well, it's just important that we not just, oh look, they're singing, but we enter in. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and thank Him for His presence. Thank you, Lord, for Your presence. Thank you, Lord, for Your presence. Thank you, Lord, for Your presence. Lord, we don't want to grieve You. We don't want to get in a hurry. We don't want to have our own plan. We don't want to just operate out of our mind. We don't want to stay in the realm of the flesh. Stay in the realm of when we understand what's coming next, when we understand what we're doing right now. Father, we want to move out. Move into the realm of the Spirit. Move into the glory of God. Move into Your plan. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for not moving with You. In the name of Jesus. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. I know it's just some of you are just a little not liking that, but see, I'm not going to have a church I don't like. I'm not going to have a church I don't like. We're going to move with God. Amen. Amen. We're not in a hurry. We're not here just to accomplish our schedule, our plans, our... Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. 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 If our lack of response keeps somebody from receiving something they came needing today, that's not something I want to live with. How about you? It's not something I want to live with. I want to accommodate God. Make me somebody. I want to be somebody He can use. If He needs me to respond in something, I want Him to be... I want to be God's go-to man. You know what I'm talking about? He can count on me. If nobody else will respond, He can count on me. Amen. Amen. And it sometimes it requires a little correction. It requires a little adjustments. My part, your part, all our part. As a church, God has a plan for our church. And He has a plan. He has a supply. This church, He has a plan for this church to have a supply for the rest of the body of Christ. And we need to be plan-minded. This is not just about this service. This is not just about, well, we're worshiping God. This is about God getting His way so that His plan can come to pass. His plan. His plan. His plan concerning the move of the Spirit. His plan concerning the glory. And that plan involves our unity. I said it involves our unity. It involves we be in one accord. That half the congregation not be just thinking, well, we're going to, any moment now we're going to stop and pastor's going to preach. That's not the way we want to come to church. We want to come just whatever God wants to do. However He wants to do it, however long it takes. I'm not the kind of guy, you know me, I'm not the kind of guy to stay just to keep a crowd longer, just for keeping them sake. I got things I can do too. Other things I can do. But if God wants to do something, I said, if God wants to do something, then I'm interested. Anybody else interested? Amen. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank You, Father, for Your mercy. Thank You for helping us. Thank You, Lord. We give You praise. We thank You. We thank You. We thank You. Thank You, Lord Jesus. 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 Praise You, Lord Jesus. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Don't look at me. Turn your attention to the Lord. Turn your attention to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Thank 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 You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, thank You, thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We worship You. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. I'm not putting on a show. You do this. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. I just want to take this time and express my gratitude. So many things, Father, that you have brought me through. Hallelujah, you brought me out of bondage, out of my wrong thinking, Lord. You have healed me. You have delivered me. You have washed me clean. You have made me free. I just thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you from my heart. I thank you for your help. I thank you for directing my life and ordering my steps. I thank you, Father, for your grace. I thank you for all the people you've sent to help me and to teach me and to help me understand. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I thank you. I worship you. I worship you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful, Father. I'm so grateful. Thank you, Lord. I take this time to worship. I take this time to thank you. I take this time to lift my hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody got word, I don't know, phone call or somehow, you got word this week of something that is, I mean, the report that came really has been trying to get on the inside of you. Who is that? Who is that? You got some kind of report. Come up here. Whoever it is, might be more than one. Real trying. We're not saying that you're giving into it. We're just saying it keeps trying. It just keeps trying. thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. First of all, congratulations for recognizing that the enemy. The enemy's trying to do it, trying to get it on the inside of you. But he's been caught. Got the victory. Got the victory. Got the victory. We stand with you against that in the name of Jesus. Satan, we know what to do. We cast down your imaginations. We cast down your thoughts. And Father, she's practicing that. She's being a doer of that. She's not ignorant of Satan's devices. And so, Father, we stand with her. And right now, I rebuke that report. I stand with her. It'll never be as it was spoken, but it'll be as she says. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, Father, she recognizes more and more the enemy and his activity and the way he tries to do things. And this one's been caught. This one, this attempt of the enemy to get in has been caught. We stand with her. And we say the enemy's a liar. The devil's a liar. And that report, it is not according to the word of God. Father, Gina is taking those thoughts captive. She's casting down those imaginations. And those things, those pictures Satan tries to show her, I bind them. And I say, as we stand with her, it'll never be as Satan said. It'll be as we say and as Gina says, in Jesus' name. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, there goes, there goes, there goes, there goes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Does this have anything to do with relatives? Ha, ha, ha. Woof! There goes the power. There it is, Father. It'll never be as that voice said. It'll never be as that voice said. It'll never be. No, 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 no. I'm reminded, can I tell you a story? I came up in religious, thank God for the church I came up in. They led me to the Lord, but there's a lot of bondage, a lot of religious traditions and things that, you know, just bound up my mind, a lot of oppression and stuff. And when I went to Bible school, I thought that the enemy started telling me, yeah, because it was wonderful. So much being washed off of me. This is your Bible school. And the enemy was telling me, though, he tried whispering in my ear, but yeah, but you got to go back to all that oppression. You got to go back to all that, you know, and those people need your help and everything. And they do. They need help. But see, only if the Lord sends me back. Not because the enemy's trying to tell me I'm the one that's going to help them. There's certain people I can't help because they won't listen to me, and there's certain people you can't help because they won't listen to you. But that voice was talking to me saying, you're going to have to go back, and you know. And I got under the weight of that so heavy. I wasn't married yet. I had a roommate, a guy there that I knew from Bible school. And he was, that thing came on me so heavy that I'm laying up in the bed part of the time during the day, just under the weight of that. I didn't recognize all how bad it was getting. And my roommate came up and he knocked on the door. He picked something up in the spirit. He came up and he knocked on my door and he said, what you doing? I said, well, I'm just laying here. That thing's trying to weigh on my mind. And he started prophesying to me. He said, that there's a verse in Isaiah. He quoted that verse in Isaiah. Remember not the former things. Behold, I do a new thing. And he started prophesying to me and speaking to me. No, God's not calling you to go back there. He picked it all up by the Spirit. And it was like a 10-ton weight rolled off of me. I got up and was set free, and that's you today. Those thoughts are not of God. They're bringing bondage and oppression, and then you'll never go back there in the name of Jesus. This is a new thing God's doing. Hallelujah. Forget the past. It's gone. And like powerless ghosts, they'll never rise again. Like the Egyptians in the Red Sea, they're gone. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. There's more of us that can take that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Amen. Thank God for the victory. Thank God for the victory. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Ha, ha, ha. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. When you started dancing, when you were back there, I just had a flash, and I saw part of that new beginning. It includes, it includes a young man, and he's an awesome guy. He's an awesome guy. That's worth getting drunk about. That's worth getting drunk about. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Fully understand everything I'm seeing, LaDonna. I don't fully understand all I'm seeing, but he's like a rescue to her, this young man. He's like a protector. He's like a a defender. He's a, from. I'm not fully understanding everything I'm seeing, but it's what she needs, Miss LaDonna. It's what she needs. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. I'm glad I came this morning. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you can't rejoice in anything else, rejoice in what Cynthia got. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The reason I'm not moving is because I keep seeing little, I guess I keep getting little flashes, and I want to make sure I'm getting everything I'm supposed to get. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, you know sometimes you get in too much of a hurry. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Where's Cynthia? She's still out on the floor. Just one more piece of Cynthia. I hope you didn't plan to stay home today. I'm glad you came. Where's Miss LaDonna? Come up here, Miss LaDonna. You have a big part in this. Aren't you glad for Miss LaDonna? She makes you mad and glad all at the same time, doesn't she? She has helped you a lot. She's been a great blessing. But I just want to say this, Miss Cynthia, because the Lord said it when you were back on the floor. He's pleased with your response. You haven't been perfect, like me, you know. I'm kidding. But no, he's pleased. Amen. He's ready to take you on to the next stage. And it includes this guy. That's the second witness right there. She said the same thing I said. Amen. Amen. Miss LaDonna has helped you a lot. Praise the Lord. Come over here, honey. Lay hands on Cynthia. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. No, 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 no. You might think in your mind, well, yeah, I got so much to learn, so much to grow into. Of course, all of us do. But you finished that first part now. Not all the preparation that you need in this life to prepare for what God has for you in this life. That not all the preparation's finished, but this first stage. Now, Father, into stage two. In the braskite. Ha ha ha. Oh yes. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, 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 yes. Praise God. Amen. The devil's a liar. Well, go ahead and take it. Rewards. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've thought about this a couple times. You know, you read in Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham. By faith, Noah. By faith. And I don't think that chapter's done being written. How many of you know by faith Paul, and by faith, you know, Peter, and by faith down through Martin Luther, and by faith, amen. What's the man started Azusa Street? Brother Seymour, by faith, Brother Seymour, By faith, by faith. Up to our day. By faith. By faith, Mama T.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, by faith, you. By faith, everybody else. By faith, Miss LaDonna took young girls in and helped them get on their course. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. By faith, you. Bringing your supply in prayer. Amen. By faith, Brother Carlos brings jokes. No, I'm just kidding. No, by faith, he does a lot. Does a lot. Hallelujah. Greet your neighbor as you're seated and say, by faith, you. Praise the Lord. By faith, you. By faith, you. By faith, we got something better than what we were going to get in this service.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Takes faith to stand here and have you staring at me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Love, love and appreciate every single one of you. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Go to Ephesians chapter number 2. I think. Ephesians, second chapter. I'm going to read in the Amplified. Ephesians, the second chapter, verse number 10. We won't keep you past 3:30. Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified. Anybody ever read this verse in the Amplified? For we are God's own handiwork. Glory. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a piece of art. You're a work of art. You're God's handiwork. We're God's own handiwork. His workmanship. Recreated in Christ Jesus. Born anew. That's his handiwork right there. That's his handiwork. Born anew, recreating Christ Jesus, born anew. He's talking about the new birth. What are we born again for? That we might do those good works which God has predestined, planned beforehand for us. You know God's got a plan for your life? Not just preachers, everybody. There's no mistakes in the room this morning. You might have been a surprise to your mom and dad, but you were no surprise to God. You know, for you to be born, God literally had to add your human spirit to that embryo and, you know, that egg and that sperm. God had to add a human spirit. For you to become alive, and you might have been a surprise to your mom and your dad, and they might have said, oops, you know. But when God added the human spirit to it, that wasn't an oops. That wasn't an oops. That was on purpose. He knew you before you were born, before you were conceived, and he had a plan for you. Amen. What's that plan? He wanted you to be born again, come into the new birth, receive Jesus, and so that, because God has a plan, and there's certain things he wants you to do. They're good things. Good things. Work he wants you to do, paths he wants you to take. Notice it says, predestined good works, which he predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he has prepared ahead of time. Yeah. Ahead of time. Yeah. Well, my mom and dad said I was not planned. You were planned. Yeah. You were planned. God planned you. Yeah. God's got a plan for you. He's got a path for your life. Yeah. He's got work for you to do. And it's enjoyable work. It's where, he said, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, before you were born. He had a plan, he has a path, paths, really, for you to take. Amen. Well, I don't know if I want to take that, those plans. I don't know if I want to follow that. Okay, keep reading here. That you should walk in them, living the good life, which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Oh, when you read that, you might want to change your mind. You want the good life. The way of the transgressor is hard. You can do your own thing, but you can also miss the good life. Doing your own thing, you miss the good life. And so many things that you wouldn't have to struggle to get into in the plan of God. In your own plans, you'll have to struggle and work and, you know, labor, and it'll all be vain, really. I mean, you might think you're putting something together for a few years or a few decades, and poof, like that, it can be gone. You know what I'm talking about? Well, I'm living the good life. Look, see, I can do this without God, but something can happen just that quick, and it's all over. It's done. It's history. You know? But see, in this plan, the good life is sure. This is in the plan of God. God's got a plan, and he's got the good life for you is on that path or taking those paths. I like that verse. One of my favorites in the whole Bible. Now go to the Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Look at the 15th through the 17th verses. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. 15th through the 17th verses. And again, we're going to read it in the Amplified. King James says it in certain ways, but I'm going to, for time's sake, just read the Amplified. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, Amplified Classic. Look carefully then how you walk. First of all, look carefully how you walk. In other words, what paths you take. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless. Now, when he says not as unwise and witless, let's finish that statement, then we'll make a statement. Not as unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. Does that just mean, you know, get a whole bunch of degrees and get a big education? That might be part of the plan, but he's not talking about that. He's talking about be wise and sensible about what the plan is for your life. That's what it means to live purposeful. Let's keep on reading. King James here is not quite as clear, but the Amplified is so good. Live carefully. Let's start over. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposefully and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time. How many of you know following your own plan, you're wasting a lot of time? Making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity. Because the days are evil. Therefore, here's a good verse. You need to put this on your mirror. Do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish. About what? But understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. So he's talking about don't be vague or thoughtless. Never think about. Or foolish. He mentioned don't be unwise. That means make sure you're sensible, intelligent from the context. About what? About the will of God for your life. About the will of God for your life. The word of God is the written word of God. It's the will of God in general for all of us. The good life and so forth. But specifically, he's going to talk to you about his plan for your life specifically. If you pray, if you're interested, if you seek him, he's promised you will find him. You will find that plan. You will find what God has created you for, what God wants you to do. You're not down here to suck air or pay the mortgage or work 9 to 5. There's something much higher, much greater, way beyond just natural things like that. That concerns God's plan for your life. Amen. We say, I'm just a house mom. Hey. Abraham Lincoln attributes what he got into and how he changed it. He changed this nation for good. But he attributes it to his mom and the way she raised him. Amen. You know, she was preparing a world changer. Not just this nation. He changed this nation, but because he stood for what was right, and stood against what was wrong. But he changed more than just this nation. He changed the whole world. Let's rephrase that. His God did through his mom. So don't ever say I'm just a homekeeper. I'm just a mom. You train up that child in the way they should go. God will get his plan done through them. So, but I like these verses. There's verses here, these verses in Ephesians. It talks about his plan and taking those paths and so forth. And then he says in chapter 5, make sure and be careful how you live. Isn't that interesting? Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 21. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 21. I'll give you a moment to get there. Don't take too much of my time, though. 2 Timothy 2, 21. If a man therefore purge himself from these, you look at the context, a lot of things he's talking about there, just wrong influences, you could say. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared, say out loud, prepared, unto every good work. Say out loud, I got to be prepared for what God's prepared for me. That's what he's talking about. This man, he sanctifies and purges himself from unclean, he says here, wrong influences. If you look at the whole context, he's talking about fleshy things and so forth. Then God, what is happening is you're being set aside. The word sanctified means set apart for God's use. You're being set aside and set apart, not set aside. That gives wrong connotations, but set apart. You're being set apart for God to use you. Now, you can be saved and God not be able to use you. I didn't say he doesn't love you. I didn't say you won't go to heaven. I'm just saying for being usable down here in this life, it takes more than just getting saved. Getting saved is the doorway in. Getting saved is the doorway in. But there's a process that has to, let's put it this way, like this verse says, there's a preparation that has to take place for us to be usable. Isn't that right? That we be vessels sanctified and meet. That means set aside and usable for the master's use. You and I are somebody who is usable to God. And prepared. There's the word you need to underline. Prepared. We've got to be prepared to be usable. Amen. We've got to be prepared for God to take us into what he really has for us in our lives. Prepared unto every good work. Whatever that work is for you, whatever it is for me, we've got to be prepared for it. Amen? You know, your child, you love your child. You love them. You would do anything for them. Probably even, run in front of a moving car to get them out of the way of it. You know? You love your child. But that doesn't mean they're all, they might be 2 years old. That doesn't mean they're usable around the house. Probably they make more messes than they do any cleanup. Right? Yeah. Well, you're going to train them. You're going to teach them. They're going to be usable eventually. That's right. Don't call my child unusable. Well, you know it's true. You know what I'm talking about. They got to be prepared. Well, are you trying to say I don't love them? I didn't say you don't love them. You just can't use them for a whole lot around the house. All right. I have been, as you can tell from the blog, some of you reading it, hopefully. I've had the plan of God on my heart for weeks. Weeks. And I keep thinking, okay, I'm going to move on to something else. And I keep getting more and more and more and more. And it's just welling up in me too big to not preach on it at church. And so we're going to spend some time. We're not going to take a lot of time today because, Brother Christian back there kept the mic on and took so much of our time today. but we're going to spend some time in our service, in our services, talking about some of this. Because let me tell you what the plan of God is for your life. It's the sweet spot. It's where things are good. Not just automatic. You got to bring your faith to it. But see, trying to bring your faith to things that you really want in life outside of the plan of God. I mean, you're living outside of the plan of God, but you want some things in life. It's going to be a lot more labored outside of the will of God than it ever will be inside the will of God. In fact, in the will of God, you almost trip over many of the blessings. Just walk in your path and whoops, there's another one. That's what he means, living the good life. Where? Taking those paths. Where's all these good things? They're on that path. So you're just walking the path, praising God. Lord, you're so good to me. Whoop, there's another one. I don't mean you don't need to bring your faith to it. But it's just totally, using your faith in the plan of God is totally different than outside of the plan of God. Amen. So we can see from these verses that even before time began, this is not just before you were born, but even before time began. Even if you read the whole counsel of God's word on all this about before the world began, you'll see it's very clear in the New Testament. Before time even began, not just before you were a twinkle in your mom and dad's eye, before time began, before the clock started going tick, 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 and the calendar started moving days, before this earth was even formed, God had a plan, and you were in it. Me, little old me? Well, who called you little old? And so he plans something wonderful for your life. How many of you know Jeremiah 33:3? Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show you great and marvelous things, you know. And then 29, whatever, you know, what is the verse 29:11? He talked, I know the thoughts. King James says thoughts I have for you, but most of the translations say plans. Plans have been made. Yes, amen. I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to do you good.
Yes, Lord God.
Not evil.
Yes, that's yes. Yes. Hallelujah.
Glory. I already did. I preached myself happy. And to give you, one translation says a hope and a future. That just means a bright future. Something that hope means something you expect and look forward to. A good expectation, not a fearful thing. You're expecting something bad, but something good. I mean, he's got a future for you that you really ought to look forward to. It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's better than anything you're living right now. What you're living in now is the first part of it, and it's good. But, woo, what's ahead? But pastor, our nation, but pastor, they're not the source. God is your source. And this plan only he can bring to pass. So don't look to anybody else. Now, he planned it, but you have to walk in it. Notice he said, taking paths. God laid the paths out, but he's not going to make you take those paths. You can do whatever you want, but let me give you a little bit of, let me give you a couple of brain cells this morning. You know, I don't mean that as an insult to anybody, but you know, just another way of saying a little bit of wisdom. You don't want your path. You want his plan. You want his plan and you want it bad. You say, I do. Yeah, you do. You don't know it sometimes, but you do. If you knew how good it was and you knew how different it is. I mean, compared to where your plans are. Praise the Lord. So he's planned it, but you got to walk in it. That's where the good life is. Amen. That's where the sweet spot is. And really, you ought to use your faith to target this. We use our faith for other things. This is the first target. The first target is the plan. You shoot for the plan, you'll hit all the blessings because they're on that plan. I'm an archer. I got her done this week, by the way. But I was hunting. Some of you don't know me, so you know. But that was a good shot. Ah, man, it was just so sweet. Bullseye. Didn't even run 30 or 40 yards. For all you PETA people, forgive me, but you can get your meat at the grocery store where no animals were harmed, you know. But boy, that was sweet. Just releasing it all felt right, hit the spot. I haven't always done that. But it was a good shot. What was that? I don't know. I lost my train of thought. But I'm saying you need to shoot for the plan. Shoot for that plan. I mean practice. Oh, I got off of that time. Let me practice again. Woo, yeah. Come on. And get real good at hitting the plan. Wham! When you hit the plan, you get all the blessings that are in that plan. So, since God has put everything good in your life on that path or these plan, the plans that he has, and his paths take you there. He has already planned these places and these things, then really it'd be foolishness for you to formulate your own plan and choose to walk in that. Some young people, they think they know better. Anybody young in here? I like some of you raising your hand. You're 97. I mean, you're 30.
No, I'm not 97.
Amen. Amen. But see, God has, you say, oh, I'm young, I know better, and you know. Well, God's been around longer than you. He knows a whole lot better. You just need to trust him that he's smarter than you are. Smarter than you are. So if he's not leading you into something, you say, well, I want that. He's not leading you into it, or he's leading you another way. Then don't think you're smarter than him. Don't think, well, you know, I can do this and life will turn out. Listen, we've got too many heartache stories in the body of Christ. You know that song, I Did It My Way? All right. That went over like a lead balloon. John. Jesus came down here to do one thing. He said, I came to fulfill the plan. I came to do the will of my Father. That's the only thing you need to be doing in life. Just doing the will of your Father. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many of you know Jesus fulfilling the will of the Father, it affected a whole lot of people. Whole lot of people. Adam failing to do the will of God in the garden. He did it for a while, but then he failed. That affected a whole lot of people. What about you? Well, it's my life. I can live it. What about your kids?
Come on now.
I can do what I want. Your life affects more people than you realize. You need not be so selfish. So this is what I want. This is what I want. What about your kids? Your kids are passengers in your life. And wherever you take them is where they're going. I weep sometimes. I see people that the way they're living and the way they're raising their kids. I'm not talking about here at church. I'm talking about just out in the world, you know. And you almost weep for that child. What they're having put into them. What they're not getting put into them. And what they're going to have to learn the hard way because mom and daddy didn't learn it. And what they're going to have to overcome all the effects of the curse because they're doing their own thing rather than God's plan. It's hard sometimes to watch that. But we can't do anything about other people. We can't walk their plan for them or their path for them, but we can do something about us. And think about somebody beyond us. You know why the devil's afraid of you finding God's plan and walking in it? Because it affects a lot of people. Affects a lot of people. Amen. How many of you know you doing your own thing affects a lot of people? Satan uses that to get to people and get people off. Well, praise the Lord. So there's a lot of blessings in the plan of God. You can look at them in the Bible. The Bible talks about, we're here in Ephesians, the good life. Brother Copeland, I love the way he says it. He calls it your wealthy place. Now, that's just not a term he pulled out of the air. That's a term in the Old Testament. It's talking about the place of our covenant and the place of walking with God, walking in the plan of God for our life. But all these blessings that are there, we just read there about the good life that God prearranged and made ready. Amen. How many of you know no plan you formulate for your own life will come anywhere near blessing your life like the plan of God will bless your life? You might think you can get a few things put together and have a good life, but compared to what you could have, you're shooting way too low. Amen. So don't think you're all that in a bag of chips with your plan. I'm talking about with your plan. Praise the Lord. Some of you don't know how to take me this morning. I'm having a good morning. But it'll affect your family. Following God's plan will affect your family, like I just said. It'll produce inward satisfaction. There's nothing like laying down in bed at night knowing you're exactly where you belong in life, right in the plan of God. At this stage, you know, God's got more, but at this stage, you're right where you belong. Yeah, and you can just lay down and you got this big smile on your face. Remember I told you about how we were out of the plan of God? God kept telling me about pastoring. I didn't want to do it. And then we finally got here and she'd see me laying there and I've got this big chesty grin on my face. You don't know what a Chessy Cat is, do you?
Well, I do.
Oh, you know what a Chessy Cat is. I said, you know, she said, what are you smiling about? I said, just so good to be in the will of God. So what is that? Inward satisfaction. So that's a blessing you get out of it. Besides that, there's physical strength. Jesus said in John 4:34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. What's that mean, my meat? Now, what do you get when you eat meats, another word for food? You get strength. Right? Meat is also, there's two ways the word food or meat is used in the Bible. Remember, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He's talking about it's food for our spirits. The word of God is food for our spirits like food is for our bodies. And so when we eat food for our bodies, it gives strength. It gives our bodies strength. And that's what the word of God does. Feeds our spirits, gives us spiritual strength. But here he said something else that gives us strength. Here he said that doing the will of God gives us strength. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. John, what did I say? John 4:34? My meat. In other words, this is where I get the strength to do what I'm doing. Being in the will of God will strengthen you. God doesn't strengthen you to do his, excuse me, doesn't strengthen you to do your plan. He strengthens you and I to do his plan. And guess what? If you want to live long, and you keep getting re-strengthened, and you're not being cut out early and living short and dying young, and get in the will of God. Long life is in the will of God. Joshua said, because remember Joshua and Caleb obeyed God, and they believed God whenever the report came, said, go in, I've given you the land, go in and possess it. They believed that. Right. They obeyed and stuck with the word of God and didn't come back complaining and right. with a bad report saying, we can't go in. They didn't side against the will of God. God's will was that they go in and take Canaan's land. Joshua and Caleb stayed with the will of God. You read, I think it's Joshua 8. I'd have to look it up. But you read there, Caleb, after so many years, Moses went on and he went to heaven, or Abraham's bosom, of course. But then Joshua's in charge. And Caleb came to Joshua after the 40 years was over. He said, Moses prophesied to me and said, this is my possessions over there. He said, and all these other people died off. Because remember, they were 40 years in the wilderness dying off. And he said, but God has kept me alive. And he's got, give me that mountain right there. God has kept me alive. What has kept him alive? Well, God, but really, all the other people veered from the plan. Joshua and Caleb stayed with the plan. So you could say God, or you could say the plan kept them alive. Stay it in the plan. Long life is in the plan. I said, long life is in the plan. And God wants you to live long. That's a good testimony. I will live long. Finish the course. Amen. So there's many blessings. All these things are the blessings in the plan. And there's great rewards in the life to come. Do you realize there's a well done, you and I want to hear well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord, be ruler over 10 cities, be ruler over that. Who gets to hear that? Just everybody, because God wants to make everybody feel good? You know, participation trophy kind of thing? Huh? By the way, that's the most diabolical thing you ever heard of.
Yes, it is. Thank you.
You get a trophy for winning.
Thank you. Come on.
God's not socially promoting people and giving them a trophy because they came.
Come on.
No, you compete and you win.
Yes.
God says, you finish the course, you run the race, and then I'll say, well done, thou good. Not well, you showed up. Well done, done, done. And so whenever we hear that, he'll say, you've been faithful here. There's so much more here. I had planned for you. That was all qualifications for what I have for you now. Be ruler over all this. Be in the kingdom to come, in the millennial reign. He's these people who he can trust because he's proven them in this life.
Yes.
With all the temptations and all the desires of the flesh to do other things.
Yes.
That they'll stay with the plan.
Yes.
Be faithful. And bring to pass what God wanted to do in their life.
Yes.
Well done.
Well done.
I got some more for you to do.
Yes.
I got bigger things for you. This life is qualification for what's to come. So we're talking about the rewards of following the plan of God. Some people don't think long term. They just think in this life, but there's blessings beyond this life. Y'all still out there? So there are many blessings waiting this life. But, they, you know, you could call it the good life. Isn't that right? The greatest thing, though, of fulfilling God's plan is not what you get, but what you become. Amen. What God makes your life, what He makes your life to other people. Anybody got anybody in your life that you're so thankful for?
Yes.
Whew. I got folks that, ooh, man, where would I be if they had not obeyed the plan for their life? I don't know where I'd be. Isn't that right? Anybody got people like that? Of course you do. Should start with your mom and dad, hopefully. But the greatness, when it comes to God, greatness is different than greatness of the world. The great people of the world think that if you come out with a hit song and everybody plays it on the radio or whatever, that's great. No. What did it change anybody's life? I wouldn't spend all your time listening to things that don't change your life. Spend your time preparing to follow the plan to where your life counts to somebody else. Your life counts. If somebody, whenever they come before God, they say, Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the blood. And thank you for Sister Teresa. I'm a Sister Mama T or somebody.
Amen.
Somebody. You need to bless somebody's life.
Yes. Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
You're not to have a throwaway life. What do I mean, throwaway life? I mean, it doesn't really matter that you live down here.
Exactly.
Needs to be, so your life needs to count.
Yes.
Well, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. Yeah, and you can make that stay-at-home time count.
Yes.
Can change a whole nation by being faithful to God's plan for you. So it's not about whether you have a great big voice and a lot of people know you or anything like that. It's about influence because you did what God told you to do. Oh, glory to God. And God will make you. Remember Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. You don't want somebody else to make you. You want God to make you. You're a blessing. Make you a blessing to somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. I think about where I am today. I'm in the plan of God and where I started from. Where Mennonite boy plowing fields and milking cows. Amen. And yeah, it is exactly right. But I just was open to God, and He spoke to me about His plan. I said yes.
Amen.
Not right away. I didn't want to at first, but it wasn't working out for me, so I said yes. And I said, okay, here I am. And I started following that plan. And think about the difference that God made in what my life down here means. It could have been a whole bunch of cows that didn't have an udder that was hurting because their udders were full of milk. You know what I'm talking about? That's not a real big blessing. Keeping you awake this morning. But He took me out of that to feed His people. Remember, David said, He took me from following my father's ewes, that's the female sheep, great with lamb, to feeding His people Israel. Glory to God. David's life has affected all of our lives. Those Psalms. How many of you Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd. Woo! Anybody ever thank God for David? Thank you, David, for obeying and following the Holy Ghost. Well, what if he'd have stayed out there and said, no, I don't want to obey God. I just want to feed sheep the rest of my life. Wouldn't have blessed any of us. Well, praise the Lord. Your life matters. God's got a plan for your life. I just said yes to God. How about you? You going to say yes?
Yes,
I know many of you already have, but I mean, it's not a one and done kind of thing. Saying yes is not a one time thing. You got to continually, when He says, I want you to do this. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege. I'm honored to, you know, be chosen. Honored to be picked. Amen. So how do you get into this plan? First of all, you got to be born again. Remember Jesus said, I'm the door. He's talking about the door to God, the door to the Father, door into heaven, so forth. But how many of you know he's also the door into the plan that God has for your life? Of course, the new birth is part of the plan, but you know there's so much more. So he's the door. And so once you've been born again, he has this, he's the door into this wonderful plan that God has for your life, this plan that has all this goodness in it. Anybody see that? He's the plan, he's the door into all this plan. And so everything good that you need is there, but you've got to keep on responding to that. Hallelujah. There's a friend of ours, a minister friend of ours, that made this statement. He said, if you agree with the will of God for your life will be amazing. I like that. Maybe not by the world's standards. Who cares about the world's standards? I said, who cares about the world's standards? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, that's probably far enough for this morning. I've got, don't want to keep you too long here. But we're going to get into some more of this. First, I just wanted you to know there's a plan for your life. I'm not talking about something mama planned or daddy planned. Or I'm not talking about something you concocted in your mind. I'm talking about when you were born into the earth, God had a plan, but the doorway into that's Jesus. Praise God. But I want to get into more of this. There's so much God's been talking to me about. It takes preparation. We saw that there in that verse there in 2 Timothy where he said he prepares us. Amen. Remember that? Prepared for every good work. We need to be prepared to fulfill that plan. You know, the first part of fulfilling the plan is just being prepared.
Yeah.
Well, I got this plan. I got to get into the plan. Yeah. Preparing is the part of the plan.
Yep.
So we want to talk about that. That's the part people don't enjoy as much. Their flesh doesn't enjoy. But if we'll be faithful in preparing, letting God prepare us for what he's prepared for us, there'll come a day it'll all be worth it. Jesus prepared, when it comes to years, you count years, it's not exact, but pretty close. He prepared about 10 times longer than he actually ministered on the earth. So preparation could be longer than we thought. Now, we're never fully prepared for everything. We're continually being prepared. But my point is, don't underestimate the importance of being prepared. Letting God prepare you. I'm sure some of you have relatives. In fact, I'm thinking of one man now I've talked to, but you got relatives, you know, that are like, what are you always doing down there at the church? It's always church with you. Church, church, church. You got a career. You got to get with it, boy. You're losing time. You're wasting time. You're always down there. Well, why aren't you getting this or that education and, you know, getting ready for choosing a career? What are you working down there at the daycare for? Huh? What's wrong with you, boy? I know relatives. I can point people out. I know they've talked to me.
Oh, yeah.
Because their relatives value something totally different than what God values. God values preparing you for what he's got for you. And if he told you to be at the church, if he told you to work at the daycare, it's not just about a job. It's about preparation. He's working on something. But carnal people, they're not focused on what God's focused on. Jesus, for 10 years, went into work, you could say.
Yeah.
Says, Dad, what are we doing today?
Yeah.
Dad says, oh, well, this lady down here, she wants a table. Go down there and figure out how big it is and so forth and so on. 10 years, he learned to just follow instructions from an earthly father.
Yeah.
10 years, he's learning from his earthly father how to hear and do. Hear and do. Ten times. I said 10 years. I didn't mean 10. Did I say 10 years? I meant 10 times longer than he actually ministered on the earth. And he was being prepared for 3 years of intense hearing his Father in heaven and doing and change this whole world. Then, of course, Calvary paying a price for our sin. It's really what changed the world. But my point is the preparation is huge. Do you know that all those years, 30 years of preparing, were worth it. It might seem like, what are you doing, boy? You're 30 years old. Get out there and get you a career of your own. What are you working for your dad for? Come on. Somebody, some carnal relative could have said stuff like that. But the day came when the Holy Ghost came on him in the River Jordan, and all that was worth it in a moment. In a moment, everything he was preparing for was worth it. Don't let your carnal relatives tell you what to do in life. If God says be at every service and be at prayer meetings too, and clean the church and do this and do that, he's working something in you. It's not about a job. It's not about health ministry. It's what he's working in you. He's preparing you, preparing you, preparing you for what he's prepared for you. If it's a, maybe he has, you know, a strong anointing for you. Maybe he has some other things, whatever he's in ministry. I'm talking about strong anointing ministry or some other things. Whatever he's got prepared for you, he's got to get you prepared for it. Or else you won't be ready whenever it comes time to step into it. Got to be ready. Anybody ever heard us say, if you want to be married, you got to get ready?
Yeah.
Not just, well, I'm praying they get ready. How about you?
Yeah. That's real.
How about you?
Yeah.
They don't want to, you don't want them to see you and go, ooh, man, that old bossy attitude. I'm not taking her out on a date, or I'm not going to go out on a date with him. Amen. Stand up so I'll quit. Hallelujah. So we need to get into some of this. Say it out loud. God has a plan
for my life.
It's wonderful. It's marvelous.
It's where the good life is.
Everything I want in life is on that path. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I am interested, say that, in the plan of God.
I'm interested enough
to seek God
and find that plan
and let him prepare me
even when my mind doesn't
understand
what he's doing.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do you know some things he wants to do with our lives?
If he dropped the full measure of the anointing on us right now to do it, it would destroy us.
Because you know on those new levels, Satan will come on a new level.
To oppose you on a new
level. And if you're not ready spiritually to handle that new level,
God would be doing you a disservice
to drop you in the middle of it right now.
He don't want to lose
everything
because he moved you into it when you weren't ready, you weren't prepared.
So
there's a lot of things we're being proven right,
that are being proven in our lives right now.
Hallelujah.
Well, I've been at this helps ministry position for a long time.
What's the clock got anything to do with it?
It's not about the clock. It's about preparation.
Well, I don't know why they never promote me.
Probably because of that right there.
You're not ready.
Well, I got a great gift.
I need to preach and teach.
And
yeah, and the broom still
hasn't got the attitude
worked out on it yet.
The broom
handle keeps reporting back
and saying he's grumpy.
He does it, but he's grumpy.
Hallelujah.